Good morning, everyone. Glad to see you in the church. We are missing quite a few. Ready for the fall, am I right? Thank you, George, for reminding us about the importance of our stewardship testimonies that we've been providing in our bulletin. Every one of them have been different, and every one of them been very, very good, as Keith Browning is writing this morning. I feel I've been led by God by requesting these from our church members. There are still more coming all the time, but I have been very happy that no one has refused to write, but being able to and willing to share how they feel about their stewardship, that very, very, very great thing. By the way, why also forget to say who is birthday baby today? If you see Jackie May, send her greetings on her birthday yesterday. Paula Harold tomorrow, as it's become like a tradition here to remember this. And then we have Lindsay Garrison, birthday Wednesday. Congratulations, Lindsay. John Housen, we greeted him in the first service. And Connie Klaus. Connie, congratulations. I think it's going to be Friday. And then there is Dan Kleinfelter again Friday. If you have time, give them a call, send them a text message, or send them a postcard. I'm sure they would appreciate. Congratulations, everyone. When I was reading through these lectionary readings as a preparation for this message, I thought they are all, at least to me, sound like all after one thing. And the one thing, becoming rich toward God. That's the main thing, become rich toward God. And then when I start reading this gospel reading back and forth, I realize that I probably have never preached about this reading. I don't recall preaching about this. So maybe it's time to try to preach something, say a few things about this. Because in Luke 12, these verses 12 through 21, Jesus uses the parable of the rich fool. I know calling this parable rich fool as it has been, and it is called. It may not be all that beautiful way to say it, but the name of this parable is the parable of the rich fool. And actually what Jesus is doing, he is warning, as you read this line, he's warning against greed. And then he emphasized the importance of being rich toward God rather than accumulating material wealth. So we see, well, that's, I guess, common sense to us. But wait a minute, let's get deeper in this passage. So what Jesus is highlighting, I believe, he's highlighting that life's true value is not in possessions, after all. But tell this to people of this world. Tell this to people of this world. The many things that they are running after is not real meaning of life, and the most important in this life at all. But in a right relationship with God and generosity towards others. And it sounds like a common sense to us, am I right? When you hear these words, but to practice this and to tell this to the world who is dying to running after matters, including possessions today. So this is something you may call in a nutshell, what Jesus teaches us. So here we are reading about a man in crowd asking Jesus to settle a dispute over his inheritance. And based on his request, to me it sounds like it's revealing his desire for something, maybe more material gain, more something that he already has. Let's read it. New Living Translation puts it this way. Then someone called from the crowd, "Teacher, please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me." So, according to tradition, this was younger brother who had come to listen to Jesus, requesting this favor from Jesus to settle matters regarding the will or inheritance with his older brother, obviously, who was the main recipient of this will. So this man got this close to Jesus, discussing distance away from Jesus, from the Savior of the world, from the Savior of his life and his heart. He was this close to Jesus, Savior of his family and all his friends, and Savior of his soul, this man's soul as well. And here is what he requested. This seems like the most important thing from this man, for this man to request from Jesus. "Help talk to my brother to divide our father's estate with me." It tells a lot about this man. Obviously, this was all that he was thinking. Maybe he had preparing for himself to get to Jesus' services or meetings, learning that Jesus had such lots of wisdom over all kinds of issues of human life. So this is the most important question, request from my heart to share with Jesus. So here comes Jesus' response. Actually, it's warning. Jesus is warning. Here's what he says. "Friend, who made me a judge over you to decide such things as this?" I can almost hear Jesus say that, "I am not your family attorney over matters like this." Would it be right to say that Jesus said, "Well, I am not interested. You guys deal it between you two. I'm here for much more important matters than deal with your family inheritance matters." Actually, when you listen to this narrative, you can hear Jesus' response by cautioning against all forms of covetousness, that one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. You and I, we say, well, that's a common sense, obviously, Pastor. But tell this to the world. Maybe we are not all that far from this, what was going on in this man's life. You know, by the way, what covetousness means. Covetousness. Here's what it means. It is a strong and often excessive desire for something, particularly material possessions or wealth, often belong to someone else. You see? Often belonging to someone else. You shouldn't worry about that at all. It's not your business, it's not your matter. Why to come to Jesus with this in your mind only? Only thing you worried about. To gain more material good, let's make Jesus to be our attorney to deal with my brother, make sure I get what I need and I want. There's more explanations coming from Jesus, as always. Then there is Jesus' parable over the rich fool. Again, this is the name of this parable, the rich fool. Now, so in this parable, there's a wealthy farmer experiences a good harvest, put it this way, a bumper crop. and plans to board or hoard his wealth in lots of barns, lots of silos, forgetting one thing, neglecting the possibility of his death and the importance of spiritual wealth, importance of God in his life, importance of his well-being of his soul. So this man, according to our parable, this man was imagining to be even more wealthier than he already was. More wealthier than he ever been. And here's what he says to himself. If you are wealthy enough, your best friend is yourself. You like yourself so much. You talk about yourself all the time. That many times, the picture. He says, my friend, talking to himself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. You have stored enough away for years to come. Then he's talking to himself. By the way, have you never talked to yourself? I have. And that's okay, but just make sure that you don't start answering to yourself. That gets pretty scary, am I right? By the way, when I want to counsel myself as a preacher, you're having a hard time to find counselors. Nobody wants to be a preacher's counselor. And I get that. So I go to open field or in the woods and I air out everything that bothers me. I talk loud. Yes, I talk loud. If I find a cow or horse, I talk to them or birds. And they don't run your secrets. Have you heard horse running your secrets? But if you talk to a friend, don't be surprised that your secret is running in town next day. Talk to cow, talk to horse, talk to bird. They are not going to run your secrets. Talk to yourself. Don't answer to your questions, though. Now, here's what he says. Now take it easy, talking to himself. Now take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. Just have a good time. Enjoy your life. Look at you, how wealthy you are. And you are getting wealthier and wealthier all the time. But here's the continuity. But God said to him, wow, there's such a thing like God. I forgot that. God said to him, you fool. You will die this very night. Then who get everything you work for? Who is going to gain? Who is going to get all this that you've been working for so hard? So this parable illustrates that storing up earthly treasures while neglecting God is foolish thing to do. Tell this to this world. Tell this to your peers. And sometimes tell this to yourself, friends, as well. It's a hard lesson to learn. So the lesson here is, when you go down to it, that is right thing, only right thing in this world. And then again, God doesn't have anything you doing well financially. That you are building up. God doesn't have anything. If you are working hard, you can provide yourself, you can provide your family, you can do good things and you can buy things. No, consider it God's blessing if you do that. But if that is only thing that you are thinking, only thing in your heart, then you are going 100 miles wrong direction. Because being rich toward God is the main thing in this life, whether you are rich or poor. So in our Savior's thinking, there is a big contrast between the rich fool and somebody who is rich toward God. Like a night and day. Night and day. Jesus means that true fulfillment comes from generosity, faith, and focus on spiritual treasures. If this is what is in your heart, you have chosen the right thing. You are being rich toward God. If you feel that you have some adjustment that needs to be made, please do that by the grace of God. And then Jesus is warning against greed appeals to us all, really, to all the people. And it can manifest in subtle ways and lead to a misguided focus on possessions. Now, life is more than material wealth. We all know that. It is much more than that. It is about relationship with God and our generosity toward others. You wonder sometimes why there are so many unhappy people. One reason is that they have never been taught or they have never learned to think about other people. It's always been just about thinking about themselves. What I gain about this and from this. Let me share a story before we pray. Back in Owensboro, we started every fall, it was a community outreach, 4 days. It was called 4 days on grace, 4 days on grace. We kept on building it for 4 years. It turned out to be a big event, every year bigger. And the challenge was to get every church member actively involved, one way or another, in praying, inviting, doing something to connect with their neighbors and community. 4 days on grace. It was wonderful outreach for that church. One secret that we grew about 150 members there. But so we went over. I asked somebody who was very good coordinator and leader to create little evangelism team, outreach teams, 3 or 4 or 5 people at the most, and go into different neighborhoods and inviting people and praying for them and just going really there where people are. So I wanted to go with many teams, and one Saturday I was out there with a team of one couple, so we were 3 people. It was Patsy and Eddie. Eddie was a layman and wonderful man. I don't recall that he has been serving in any official capacity, but Eddie was a go-and-getter man. If you needed somebody doing something in the church, that was Ed Crady. He's with the Lord now. I'm wearing the cross Ed made for me. And then Patsy, his wife, who was my SBRC chairperson, wonderful, wonderful. He was just wonderful, wonderful person, wonderful couple all the way. So we were there in one of the prominent neighborhoods in Owensboro, Kentucky. Why I say prominent, because all the houses were like castles. I mean, they were not, to me, they were not houses, they were castles. Mansions, huge, I don't know how in the world anybody needs, that's so big houses to live in. So the first house in that neighborhood, beautiful, beautiful neighborhood. So there is that big house welcoming us, and Patsy and Eddie wanted, Timo, can we go in the middle of the neighborhood? Maybe there are little smaller houses for us to start with. they were a little bit scared to go to this huge house very first. I said, no, we start from the first one. So we walked by that house, a big, big lawn, and there was 3 or 4 beautiful vehicles, you know, all black, shiny, Mercedes, BMWs, Cadillac Escalades, and every vehicle belonged to this family because they have an L letter next to the license plate, L letter, kind of identifying that this vehicle belonged to this family. And that was okay. So I ring the bell, no answer. I heard the music on the backyard, there's a pool and all that. So I ring again, and then there's a young man coming at the door, younger man, and was looking great, you know. His outfit was not from Walmart or Family Dollar, I don't think. And he greeted us nicely, and I introduced myself and my friends, and I explained why we are here for, We are just inviting people to join our every fall event called 4 Days on Grace. Lots of great music, lots of fellowship, good talks, food afterwards, activities for children and youth, and the whole thing. And then I handed over this invite to him, and he started reading it. And as I got through with it, he said, "Well, thank you, Reverend, for coming, but I don't think you have nothing to offer that I need. You don't have nothing to offer that I need." And I said, "Okay, well, I understand." And he was about to turn around and go back inside, and he was very polite. He wasn't rude, but something was God thing, because the thought that came to me, I said, "Except there's one thing, sir." And he turned back to me and he said, "And what's that?" He said, "Everyone, including you and I, everyone needs God's love right here in our heart. Everyone needs that. Every single human being needs that." And he froze. He froze. He was just looking at me. And then he said, "Hmm." And he turned around and went back inside. And Eddie and Patsy was just watching and looking, and they said, "What was that?" I said, "You can call that God thing. That's God thing. That word came to me, and I just spell it out. That was God thing. God thing. Something to take home today." Considering this story, this narrative we have before us, this parable, I guess we remember what Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Okay? No matter what you're doing for a living, do and serve the Lord by what you are doing. Invest in spiritual growth, knowing the Lord in all your ways. And you can't go wrong. And let's be generous rather than solidly pursuing material gain, because that is God's plan for us all, to grow deep and rich toward God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.